Donnie, come up here and help me, all right? Donnie is going to be Othniel. There you go. Othniel, all right? Othniel, come here, fellas. You two guys on the front here. Okay, these guys here are the city that, that Caleb wanted to conquer. So Caleb's going to, Othniel's going to conquer these guys. Okay, now, conquer them. This guy doesn't die very easily, all right? Tough dude, all right? Now, he conquered these, he conquered a city. But now we find in Judges that he started out conquering a city. Now he's conquering a nation. You see, he started off doing the small things that God gave him to do. He was ruler over a few things, and God made him ruler over many. He was faithful in a few things, ruler over many. Now, the thing is that I want you to get is this, is if you're not faithful in the few things God gives you now, you're never going to be a ruler over many things later on. You see, the Bible says that, the Bible says, if I can get to it, the Bible says here, it says, "For the Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Now, let me just say this. If you do not do the little things well, you will not have opportunity to do the big things. You see, too many people say, well, I'll tell you what, if I had a big job to do, I'd do that, buddy. I'll tell you what, okay, then do your dorm duties this week. Well, I just don't see it. It's just, man, who cares? You're going to make the stupid bed and get back in it, mess it up, so just leave it. Hello? But if you don't do the small things well, God will not give you opportunity to do the great things. I had a friend who went into the Air Force, and when he went to the Air Force, they had the boot camp, I guess, and I've never been in the armed services of the United States. I've just been in the Army of the Lord all my life. But he went into the place, and so they tell you, you got to fold your clothes just a certain way in the drawer and all that. And you fellas been in the military, they do this, right? And you got to fold your clothes. It has to be a certain amount between them, and nothing can touch, and it has to be just right. It has to be folded a certain way. It can't be folded any other way. And so he folded his stuff. He put it in there. They're standing there. Sergeant comes, looks at it, dumps it out on the floor, and says, "Fold it again." Stuff. He's folding it again. He puts it just right. It's got to be just right. The sergeant measures it, dumps it out, says, "Fold it again." Picks it up. He folds it again. He puts the stuff in there. And the sergeant looks at it, dumps it out again. He says, "Fold it again." And the guy said, "Listen, I didn't come here to learn how to fold my underwear. I came here to fly a fighter jet." And the sergeant said, "Oh, is that right? You want me to trust you with a $1 billion piece of machinery and you can't even fold your underwear right?" Now, what I'm saying is this. If you're not faithful in the few things that you have, you're not going to ever have opportunity to have the great opportunity. Othniel was faithful in the small battles of life, and God gave him some big battles and some great things to do later on. You know, the thing is, there's too many people. We want to do the big things, but we're not willing to do the small things, really. And we're not willing to do those things that are just kind of seem mundane, but that's what's going to make or break you. The little things are going to make you. It's not the big things that do. Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 2, "If thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if the land of peace wherein thou trustest they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan?" Look, do the small job well and bigger opportunities will open to you. I remember when I was a student at Howells Anderson College, I had a bus route on the south side of Chicago, 174-1 and 2. I had a bus route up there, and we had a big day. You all just had a big day. And we had a big day, and the buses were packed and overrunning, and it was time to take the kids home. I've never had college students just sitting Indian style listening to me preach before. And time to take the kids home, and I couldn't find two of my kids. Now, have you ever had that happen? I couldn't find two of them. Two of them, I could not. We looked everywhere, high and low. We're trying to find them. And somebody said, "Oh, man, they got on that other bus, and they're on the other bus. Don't worry about it. They'll get them to their house or whatever. So I took the other kids home. I get back, and Jim Vineyard was the bus director back then. Jim Vineyard was a former special operations Green Beret, could kill people with his thumb 10 different ways. I mean, the guy, it's just the way he was just rough, man. I mean, he's tough. He walked down the hallway here, and he grabbed your skin on your stomach. And he just grab it and twist it and say, does it hurt? No. Does it hurt yet? No. Does it hurt yet? No. And then he'd walk away laughing at you. This was Jim Vineyard. He liked to inflict pain on people. He thought it was great. It was wonderful. Amen? Were you here with him? No. It was an amazing thing. And so here he is. I went with him one time. He went to preach in a prison. And he said, oh, you're going to come with me, McSpadden. You didn't tell Jim Vineyard no. You just said, yes, sir. And I went. And so he said, load up these cement blocks here. So we had these cement blocks. We walk into the prison. He takes the cement blocks. He puts them on the table. And he starts preaching. And the inmates weren't paying attention to him at all. Nothing. And so he just walked over with his bare fist. I'm watching this. His bare fist, he takes it, goes, bam, and hits that cement block, shatters it all over. Says, not, and blood's all over his hand. He says, next guy talk, that's you. I didn't say a word for a week. Jim Vineyard was the bus director, and I was one of his bus captains. I came back after dropping off all the other kids. I went to the bus office, and there are my two kids that I left behind sitting on Brother. Now, he loved the bus kids. Oh, my soul. He loved them. He'd do anything for the bus kids. And he's talking with them and playing with them, and one's sitting on his lap, and they're talking, goofing around. And I walked in. He said, McSpadden, what do you want? Brother Vineyard, those two kids, these your kids on your bus? Yes, sir. He said, you kids go in the other room. He looked at me and said, McSpadden, you think you're going to be a preacher, going to save America someday, going to be a pastor of a church? You can't even take care of two bus kids. You can't take care of two bus kids. You ain't going to be nothing, boy. You need to learn to take care of those two bus kids, or you ain't going to be nothing. Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Just let me get the kids home, okay? But it was a great truth that if you're not faithful in the few things that you have, God's not going to give you opportunities for bigger things. You've got to take care of these small things in life. You cannot be faithful in the small, you'll not be faithful in the great. You cannot lead one, how are you going to lead many? If you cannot accomplish the simple task that you have, you will never accomplish great things for God. God never uses a man in great matters until he proves himself in the little matters. So Othniel is teaching us that if we're faithful in few, we'll be ruler over many someday. So what is he teaching us? Faithful in few, ruler of many. Thank you, fellas. You good dead men. Othniel, just stand over there. Keep your sword. The second man we have here in the book of Judges, chapter 3, is Ehud. Ehud, they were under the, he's another deliverer of Israel. And Ehud was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was just a small tribe. And Ehud was under the oppression of the king Eglon. The Bible says that Eglon was a very fat man. The Bible says it. The Bible says he's a fat man. Amen. So, now Ehud, I don't know if he's fat or skinny or what. The Bible doesn't tell us, all right? But the thing is that he came along and we want to learn something from him, little as much when God is in it. Little as much when God is in it. You see, the Bible says in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10, for who has despised a day of small things? Ehud was from the small tribe of Benjamin. And by the way, many Bible scholars think that it was after the time that the Israelites had gone against Benjamin for the sin of the people, and that there were only about 600 men left in that tribe, and they weren't very many, just a small group of men, and these group of men, and so they were being oppressed, and so he's from a small tribe. He's a nondescript fellow. We don't find much in the Bible about him. We don't know a whole lot about him, but little as much when God is in it. God chose to use Ehud to display his power. God used the weakest of all the tribes to show his might. Ehud was left-handed. Do we have anybody left-handed here? Left-handed? Who's left-handed? Okay, come on up here, Ehud. Come up here, Ehud. The Bible said that Ehud made a dagger that was about a cubit long. That's about a cubit. All right. And this is your dagger, all right? Ehud's looking it over, examining it. I need some fat fella. No, I... Ehud was left-handed. The king of Moab was Eglon. He was a very fat man, the Bible says. And the thing is that they went in. Eglon went with some of his buddies. These guys are dead, so I have to use the... Why don't you guys come up here and help me? Come on up here. Come on. Come on. Come on, Nate. You help me. Come on. And they went to visit Eglon. They had a gift for him. Now, Eglon was a very proud man, and so when they brought this gift to him, because he was their king, he was the one ruling over them, they thought this was really great. So they come and they see the king. Scoot over there, fellas. You too, Eglon. Ehud. So they come and they see the king. They give him a gift. The king is all excited about this. Boy, they brought me a gift, brought me this thing from Benjamin. This is wonderful. He was kind of proud. And so they got the gift and they left. Now, you have to hide your dagger there. Yeah. There you go. He hides his dagger, and while he's hiding it, sticks him in the side. Now, they leave. So they start leaving. They go. They start going. And he gets to a place called where the quarries were. And he told the other fellows, you guys go on. I've got to go back and see the king. So he comes back, and he sees Eglon. And he says, Eglon, now, he just had brought him a present. So Eglon's, oh, man, this is great. He came back. He says, I have a special gift for you. I have a special message for you. Eglon's going, wow, he got me this gift and not something. He said, wait a minute. I'm going to send all the servants out. Servants leave. All these servants get out of here. This is just a private matter with me and Eglon here. I mean, Ehud here. I get them mixed up. So everybody leaves. Eglon is there with Ehud, and Ehud, he says, okay, Ehud, what is it, man? And he says, I have a message from the Lord for you. And so what happens is Eglon stands up thinking he's getting this thing. And Ehud, now wait a minute, most of the warriors were right-handed. So if he's reaching with his right hand, they're thinking there's a sword or a dagger or something. But since he was left-handed, he's reaching in, and Eglon doesn't think anything. Oh, he's got another present. He's reaching in with his left hand. He's not a warrior here. He's going to help me now. So he pulls out the dagger. He pulls out the dagger with his left hand. We didn't practice much, folks, okay? You just have to bear with us, all right? So he pulls out the dagger with his left hand, and he stabs Eglon in the belly. Anybody want to be Eglon for us here? We'll just pretend, all right? So he stabs Eglon in the belly. It was a gentle little, just wasn't anything violent or anything, just a gentle little stick, you know. And so he stabs him in the belly. He's getting a little more violent with this along the way. So he stabs him in the belly. Yay! All right. Yes, all right. He stabbed him in the belly. And the Bible says since he was a fat man, the fat wrapped around it, and he couldn't get the dagger out of him. So he left the dagger, and he takes and he leaves. Now he walks away, and what happens? He brought great victory to God's people. I don't know why, but Jim Vineyard keeps coming up in this. But Jim Vineyard preached in chapel one time. Lefty stabbed Fatty in the belly. And this story right here. Okay, Lefty stabbed Fatty in the belly. But the thing is, what I want you to understand is God uses little things. Little as much when God is in it. He used a nondescript man to bring deliverance. Little as much. God uses little things to do great things. He used a little boy's lunch to feed 5,000 one time. He used a little slave girl to get Naaman and to Elisha to be healed of his leprosy. He used a little raven to feed his prophet. He used a little mud to heal a blind man. He used a little hornet to drive out the Canaanites for Israel. He used a little shepherd with a little sling and a little stone to slay Goliath. He used a little fish to bring a little coin to Peter to pay his taxes. He used a little widow's little two mites to demonstrate great sacrifice. He used a little sentence, "Peace, be still," to calm the raging sea and the violent storm. He used a little group of disciples, 12 of them, to spread the gospel around the world. And let me just say, there's a God in heaven who can take little things and do great things with them. You say, "Well, preacher, you just don't understand. I don't have much to offer God." What little you have to offer, give it to God, and He will use it in great ways. You say, "But preacher, I just come from a little town, and I'm just from a little place, and I come from a little church, and I don't have much." Look, God is a God who takes little things and uses them in great ways to do great works for God. You say, "Well, preacher, nobody knows me." God uses little people to do great things. Little as much when God is in it. You see, the thing is, God is in it, then give it to Him. You say, "I don't have much to give." Okay, give what you have, little as much, when God is in it. Too many people say, "Well, when I get something, I get more than I'll get." No, start now. You say, "Well, I tell you what, I can't help a lot of people," but can you help one? Little as much when God is in it. You say, "Well, I'm just a little freshman, I can't do anything." No, little as much when God is in it. Look, what you need to do is take what little you have and bring it to God and say, "Lord, I don't have much, but like that little boy with his lunch to feed the 5,000, Lord, you can have what I have. You can have my life. You can have my dreams. You can have my desire. You can have it all. Lord, you do something with it." And God delights in doing great things with little people. Okay, Ehud, pick up your dagger. You can watch it over there. It's kind of dangerous with these fellas here. So the first one we find Othniel, is faithful and few, ruler of much. Say it. Faithful and few, ruler of much. We find with Ehud, little as much when God is in it. What is it? Then the third one we find here is Shamgar. Shamgar teaches us that the foolish things of this world confound the wise. The foolish things of this world confound the wise. Shamgar was a farmer. The Philistines were oppressing the people of Israel there. And Shamgar said, "I've got to do something about it." And God called him to do it. Now, Shamgar didn't have a dagger. He didn't have a sword. All he had was an ox goad. It's what he used to push the oxes along while they, "Okay, get going, eh, get going, eh, get going, eh. All right, come on, get the cattle in, eh." My cousins had a dairy farm. And the cattle don't usually do what you want them to do. So we use pitchforks. You stick them, boom, make them go. Stick them, make them go. So Shamgar here is a farmer, and all he's got is an ox goad. He comes with that ox goad. He punches the oxen. He punches the cattle. Let's get them going. Let them go. But here's what happened. The Bible says that Shamgar delivered them by taking on 600 Philistines. And all he had to fight them was this right here. Brother Solt, come up here and be Shamgar for me. Shamgar, I picked him because God chooses the foolish to confound the wise. God chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." During the time that Ehud lived, he delivered Israel. You had Ehud, you had Othniel, and we have Shamgar, and we have these guys, and I've got to go quickly. Judges chapter 5 and verse 6 says, the days of Shamgar and Anah, the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied. The travelers were through the byways. And basically, what happened in the days of Shamgar, there was so much corruption that the people didn't even go down the highway because they would get robbed. And so they go cut through the woods and all this. It was such a corrupt and terribly criminal society that he was living in. But God used him to go ahead and take his. And let's just think about this. Here come 600 Philistines, all right? 600 Philistines. And here's a farmer with an ox goad. Now, let me ask you, which one you put the odds on there, okay? But you know what? It would be foolish. We say it'd be foolish for a man who has an ox goad and a farmer. It'd be foolish for him to take on the armies of the Philistines, 600 of them. Yet he did. And I think part of it is that they come up, we'll take this guy and get him out of here. And all of a sudden, he starts swinging that thing around and stabbing them and cutting them and knocking them over and killing. And he defeated 600 Philistines. It seemed like a foolish thing, but God uses foolish things to confound the wise. You see, the thing is, sometimes when we look at the things, God, the world looks at as foolish. For example, preaching. God says he uses the foolishness of preaching to bring about his work. Now, let me just say this. If you went to your secular job and you got up and said, hey, you listen to me. If you don't get right, you're going to split hell wide open. Yeah, I'm talking to you. The world says that's foolish. But how many of you have been saved because of preaching? Your life has changed because of preaching. Let me just say that the things that are foolish to the world, God uses it to change lives. God uses it to do great things for us and for other things. The foolishness of the cross, the Bible says, to them that are lost and perished, the cross is foolishness. But to us, the gospel is a wonderful thing. It's a great thing. It's foolish. That cross is a foolish thing. What? You will worship somebody that died on a cross? Yes, but he didn't stay dead. He rose again after 3 days and three nights, and he has all power, and so we trust him. And it might seem foolish to the world, but it is not foolish to God's people. So today, I'm just going to leave you with this. We have Othniel. He teaches us that if we're faithful in few, we'll be ruler of many. We have Ehud that teaches us little is much when God is in it. We have Shamgar. Sorry, Brother Soul. The foolish things. God uses foolish things to confound the wise. Now, let me just say, all of us at some time or another feel like we're just foolish in what we're doing and this can't really be working. So all of us feel like sometimes I don't have much to offer God. I'm just one little person. I'm just one. I have much. We all feel like I don't have much responsibility. I just have these few little things, not important. But let me just say that God will take those who are faithful in few and you make them ruler of many. He'll take the simple things, the little things, and do great works with them. He takes those times when we feel foolish and does great works with us. Young people, every one of you has a purpose and a plan for God. And to somebody in this world, you will be their judge, their deliverer. You're the one that will take the gospel to them and they'll get saved. You're the one that will counsel them and turn their lives around. You're the one that will give a little bit of advice or give a little gift or do something little and it'll change somebody's life. Don't underestimate what God can do with you. Dear Lord, I pray that you'll help us to take these truths today. Thank you, fellas. You can put that stuff back.